Hi, everyone. Welcome to One Nation. I'm Brian Kilmeade. We got a big show tonight, including RFK Jr. and Kid Rock. They had a viral video. They took their shirts off. They worked out. How they're going to make your life better if you listen up. And Paul LePage was governor of Maine, knows about the corruption and fraud. He straightened it out once. He wants to go back to Congress and wants to tell you how bad it is right now. But first, the fastest, most impactful monologue in America. The theme this week is the State of the Union. Yep. I'm going to be there in D.C. at stake the midterm elections. It's coming up on Tuesday. But the body blow was delivered to the president on Friday with the Supreme Court decision 6-3 against him, invalidating his tariffs. And it will force the president to come up with a plan B. And it's already in motion. And how they ultimately respond as an administration will be challenging. But Jonathan Turley sees possible positives in this need for an audible watch.
This administration has secured some very impressive trade deals. It might not change as much as we think, because these countries know this president is not going to go away from that position. He wants access to markets on equal terms, and he has gotten that, including just recently from Indonesia. So you're going to see the administration using other tools to say, don't assume that this means that, you know, the pressure's off in terms of equal trade access.
It's true. It's hard to deny the president has done some remarkable things overall in just 1 year. I'll give you an example. Confronting our enemies, handling global problems. Ted Cruz liked it.
Keep wanting Donald Trump to be an isolationist, and that's not who he is. And the world is safer because of it. Listen, our enemies are terrified of President Trump. I got to say, at 3 a.m. on January 3rd of this year, every Latin American dictator had to change his shorts.
Because of Venezuela. And by the way, we're even closer than ever to rebuilding Gaza. Did you even think that was possible? Creating the Board of Peace now, he assembled a peacekeeping force. They're already coming in with money and with people. Now, Venezuela, that the senator is just referring to, a South American menace for the past 20 years. Their leader is now in a Brooklyn prison, not taking visitors. Cuba is about to blow, perhaps on the threshold of saying goodbye to communism for the first time in 60 years and goodbye to Castro, now his brother. On the economy, he's cut trade deals, as you know, with the UK, Japan, South Korea, India, the European Union, and more. A huge decision facing him in Iran, a 47-year-old problem for seven presidents. He's killed their terror mastermind already. You know about that. He blew up their nukes. You saw that. And he could finish off the evil Ayatollah before Easter. While he's making gains abroad and eliminating problems around the globe, he's ultimately going to be judged, and he knows it, about how he's doing at home with the economy.
They caused the affordability problem, and we've solved it. And we're going still lower. But we've solved it. But more importantly, we've brought back the American dream, and we have a country, I think, that within the next 12 months, maybe sooner, but within the next 12 months, it's going to be the greatest it's ever been.
Well, a new Fox poll revealing distressing 40% approval on how he's handling our wallet, our economy, which is astounding because there are certain numbers that are flat out phenomenal. He's jumpstarting the American dream with Trump accounts. 4.6% GDP growth. Could go up to 5 next quarter. Job numbers that doubled predictions last week. Core inflation at a 10-year low. Wage growth outstripping inflation, which overall inflation is heading in the right direction, closer and closer to 2. However, people don't feel it. And a lot has to do with the anti-Trump press. They are not impressed. But that doesn't mean prices have gone down all across the board. At the grocery store, the results are mixed. I mean, for example, beef, coffee, dairy products, stubbornly still high. Eggs, fruits, vegetables, they've dropped. Gas prices are down. Utility prices are high. Even though that's a state issue, they're kind of looking at the president to lower those rates. Trump essentially has 9 months to buck history again. Bring the prices down. Save the House and save the Senate majorities. Explain to everybody that Joe Biden dealt him a bad hand. Fully explain the titanic changes on the global landscape. Fully define his victories in foreign policy. And make Democrats answer this question. What would they do different? Would they do better? Especially on the economy.
Do you want to give the government back over to the people who, frankly, burned down the house and made most Americans much less wealthy and much less safe? Or do you want to double down on the president's leadership?
Yep. So for Tuesday, my take is this. It's okay to say what's great, but go out of your way to say what is not great. Tell America what you have planned and what to expect in their wallet to make their lives better. You have a lot to be proud of, but don't say everything's perfect, because it's not. And it never is. It's impossible. Joining us right now, Fox News contributor, former White House Press Secretary Ari Fleischer. Ari, you've been in these meetings with consequential State of the Union. What would Ari Fleischer say to President Trump?
I think he's got two jobs ahead of him. One is to ring that patriotic bell. Bring our country together on the themes of patriotism the way only a president can in that grand forum. Two, don't overbrag. Don't tell the American people that you hit a home run when you hit a double. The American people know the difference. And I think your monologue, Brian, got right to it. Prices are down in many areas, but they're up in some areas. There's a sense of unease still. As much as there is room, legitimate economic room for optimism and growth in 2026, don't tell everybody it's a home run. It's a grand slam. Don't spike the ball until the ball is across the end zone. Don't overbrag.
You were the press secretary when George W. Bush bucked history and kept his majority. A war had a lot to do with the 9/11 attacks, but it's still, you know, it's possible. And it's not that long ago. But what would you do about something that's new? And that's the antics. Marjorie Taylor Greene yelling at Joe Biden, never thought was good. Joe Wilson yelling at Barack Obama. But the last time, with Al Green shaking his cane and the pop stick signs, an embarrassment. But how do you handle it if you're President Trump?
Yeah, Nancy Pelosi ripping his speech in half. The way you handle it is you rise above it in that moment. Because when that spotlight shines on the Democrats behaving that way, the Democrats look bad. So the president should let them look bad if that's the choice they make for themselves. He should appeal to America on the basis of what I said before, that patriotic message and a message that's realistically good about the economy. That's how he'll connect to the people who are most in play for the reelection or the election in 2026.
So Friday was big news from the Supreme Court. The president not happy. Here's his reaction. Watch.
The Supreme Court's ruling on tariffs is deeply disappointing, and I'm ashamed of certain members of the court, absolutely ashamed, for not having the courage to do what's right for our country. Foreign countries that have been ripping us off for years are ecstatic. They're so happy. And they're dancing in the streets, but they won't be dancing for long.
I know he's got a plan, but you are, one of your expertise is crisis management. You personally are always calm under pressure. What advice do you give the administration now?
Well, first, they were ready for this. I think they did a good job of contingency planning if this ruling went the way it did, because they came out very quickly after with a pretty crisp statement. But here's the bigger picture, Brian. What this court did was it said these types of tariffs are wrong, but it also said these types of tariffs are right. So President Trump now has the stamp of the Supreme Court authorizing the tariffs that he wants to put into place. And that's why I think you saw the economic reaction to the president's announcement be actually pretty good. Markets didn't tank on the Supreme Court ruling. They actually stabilized and went up. So we have certainty now. Trump has certainty. The economy has certainty, and our foreign trade partners have certainty that the president can do these things in this area of the law. And as he made clear in his remarks on Friday, he's going to do those things.
I want you to hear Peter Ducey ask him what happens with the money. I think we have over $200 billion of tariff revenue. Listen.
Since Liberation Day, there's about $175 billion in tariff revenue that is now in limbo. Do you have to refund $175 billion?
Thank you, Peter. Very fair question. They take months and months to write an opinion, and they don't even discuss that point. I guess it has to get litigated for the next 2 years. So they write this terrible, defective decision, totally defective. It's almost like not written by smart people. And what they do, they don't even talk about it.
So it is. Go ahead, Ari. Your thoughts about the president's response, and do we have to write checks back?
Well, look, the pejoratives aside, whether it was written by smart people or not, the president's making an excellent point that now it's going to get litigated. This is going to get kicked down to the lower courts who are going to have to make these decisions, and it's going to last for years. So he's right about that. You know, for an outsider who didn't really know how Washington worked until he got there, he sure has picked things up pretty fast. He's exactly right. This will get litigated. It's going to take years. Nobody's going to know about these refunds. They certainly aren't coming to anybody else anytime soon.
I just hope they keep the other trade deals intact. Ari, thanks for your advice. The president's watching. I'm sure he's going to thank you, too. Ari Fleischer, thanks.
Thank you, Brian.
We have started to realize another big crisis, and we just sent a letter, a demand letter, to the state of Maine and their governor. It turns out that Maine looks a lot like Minnesota.
Wow. Dr. Mehmet Oz, administrator for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, saying things are bad in Maine, sounding the alarm that fraud in that state's social services program rivals that of Minnesota. That is scary. Now, in 2015, he warned then Attorney General, now Governor Janet Mills, this is my next guest, about the fraud. So what happened? Joining me now to talk more about that is the former governor of Maine, Paul LePage. And Governor, just let's hit the ground running. The current governor was told about the fraud. What was Janet Mills' reaction then?
We gave her, back in 2015, we assembled somewhere around 180 alleged fraud cases, and we brought it to her, and she refused to prosecute any of them. I then went on to the legislature and asked the legislature to appropriate funds so that we, the administration, could prosecute. And the attorney general went to the Democratic Party and said, don't give them any money. And by party line, they voted against funding any money so we could go after the fraud. And one of the fraud cases is one that a whistleblower came out and is now front and center on the fraud, and it's in the millions of dollars. Back then, we discovered about $600,000 that was fraudulent, or we alleged fraud, and she did nothing. The Democratic Party in the state of Maine has done nothing. So it's been 11 years. Minnesota, they just found out about it recently under this governor. We've known about it. I even went to the Obama administration with a specific case which involved a grocery store, and he refused to do anything about it. Nothing happened.
Right. The Somali community is again in the middle of this. Janet Mills is now wants to be the next senator at 79. She's running for the Democratic nomination against Graham Plantner, who has a nice Nazi tattoo that he's taken off. But he's leading Janet Mills right now. Then they'll go against Susan Collins. You talked about a whistleblower. We had him on, Christopher, one of them, Christopher Bernardini. He appeared on One Nation. He described the frauds that he witnessed firsthand with Medicaid and the program and the building guru for Gateway, which is a Somali-run business that provides in-home services. This is what he saw.
Around 2020, they implemented the electronic visit verification system. Now, that forced the staff that were providing these services to use an app on their phone to check in when they got to the client's homes. Those had to be verified before we could bill anything out to the state. I started seeing a lot in the migrant community in particular is they all had a hard time using this app. The supervisors would create the logs on the back end, and they just kept giving me the same old spiel about it being a language barrier.
It's amazing. And then the audit in 2024 found $2.1 billion in contracting spending, oversight failures, $3.7 million in mismanaged child care funds, $165,000 fraudulent school meal reimbursements, and $11,000 in payments to be deceased, to the deceased. I mean, Governor, you now are running for Jared Golden's seat in Maine, and you had a real shot of flipping that. Your thoughts about what you did and what you can do in Congress now and what you want everyone at home to know.
The one thing that can be done real quick is on EBT cards, because we found $10 million out of the Maine budget that flowed to Somalia back in 2015. We also found every time we had a drug bus, we'd find a couple dozen EBT cards. So one thing we did is we put a picture on EBT cards. From October 2015 till I left the governorship, no more EBT cards when we did drug bus. It's a very simple little thing. The very first thing this governor did took the pictures off the EBT cards. So there's a lot of these type of things we can do. I think on welfare, we should have a tiered system. Right now, you earn so much, and if you go $10 over, you lose everything. So what do? They encourage them to quit their job so they can get more services. I believe you got to let people work their way out of poverty. And so I that's one of my big programs that I want to bring to Washington.
Right. But I also want these people that took the money. I want the money back, and I want these people prosecuted. Am I in a pipe dream on that?
You are, as long as we have Governor Mills at the State House. I think if in the next election, if we can get a Republican in there, absolutely, we can prosecute. We should prosecute. The problem with Maine, however, is the constitutional officers are elected by the legislature, and the governor has nothing to say about it. And that needs to be changed. And I think if the Maine people really care about their state, they will change that constitution.
Right. And if you're in Congress, you know exactly where to take aim. No one ever gave you anything. You rose out of poverty. You became successful in business. You became a two-term governor. And now you still want to get back to the country and want to go back to Congress. And we hopefully can continue to track your race, because President Trump will have a partner if you get to Washington, finally, in Maine. Thanks so much, Paula Page. Appreciate it.
It's a pleasure to be here, Brian. Anytime.
You got it. Meanwhile, next, it's Maha Mania. Kid Rock and RFK Jr. are here to talk about their new viral video and how we can get America back on track. By the way, be sure to catch me on stage, Reno, Nevada, May 30th, streaming on Fox Nation, and then Evansville, Indiana, July 11th. See you there. BrianKilmeade.com.
You ever heard the expression that sometimes the truth is stranger than fiction? I think this is one of those stories.
America 250 lives on Fox Nation.
This was the spark that lit the torch of liberty.
It's where the past, present, and future of our nation come together.
This is where a rebellion became a revolution.
They didn't set out to change America, but that's what ended up happening.
Long live the United States!
America 250 on Fox Nation. Sign up and celebrate today.
Well, the holidays have come and gone once again, but if you've forgotten to get that special someone in your life a gift, well, Mint Mobile is extending their holiday offer of half off unlimited wireless. So here's the idea. You get it now. You call it an early present for next year. What do you have to lose?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Limited time 50% off regular price for new customers. Upfront payment required. $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, or $180 for 12-month plan. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds may slow after 50 gigabytes per month when network is busy. See terms.
Maha Mania, 1 year in, and the movement is loud. It is visual and impossible to ignore. RFK Jr. and Kid Rock turning heads in a bold new video, shirtless, unapologetic, and instantly viral. Critics are scoffing, supporters are cheering, but the message is clear. Get moving, eat real food, and take your health back. Joining us right now is Health and Human Services Secretary RFK Jr. with a shirt on, and music legend Kid Rock, who also decided to wear a hat and shirt. Guys, welcome to both of you. I understand, Mr. Secretary, this was Kid Rock's idea, but what did you want to accomplish in working out together?
Well, you know, we met about 10 years ago, and recently Kid Rock made the decision to change his depraved, debauched, and famously dissolute lifestyle and start eating good food and exercising and maybe live a couple of years longer of an enriching and fulfilling life. And he invited me down to see his training regimen. And so we spent a half a day at his home, in his home gym, and just had fun.
Bobby, I know it seems like everything you do seems to go viral, but did you expect this to go as viral as it has? Everybody's talking about this.
This is one we definitely wanted to go viral. I actually shot one before this, and I wanted to put it out just for people who enjoy what I do, the fans, because like myself, you know, I needed this message hit hard with about 5 years ago, and I know they could use it as well. I look at the, out to the crowd every night, and I'm like, yeah, hopefully I can influence some people to, you know, get on board. Like, my brother and certain friends joined my lifestyle years back, and so I knew, you know, the old cliche that, you know, you really do in the position I'm in have a little bit of influence. So this is one I was definitely hoping would go viral like it has, and hopefully motivate people to, you know, start making better decisions with their health and with their food.
Mr. Secretary, you're all about real food. Give us an understanding of what you're trying to accomplish and you're already putting into play since you got this job. Eat real food. The ultra processed food is slowly killing Americans and has been for about 40 years.
We have the worst chronic disease burden of any country in the world, and it's because of our food. It's 70% of the food that we eat is ultra-processed food, and it's not really food. It's just, it's poison. It's food-like substances. We're going to change that now, and we're laser-focused on making it affordable. The federal government pays for 45 million school lunches a day. And we are about to issue regulations and recommendations to make sure that our kids are getting good food. And what we're finding is that it's actually cheaper. Counterintuitively, it's cheaper to eat well than it is to eat processed food. We're changing the military right now. We're going into 20 bases with Chef Robert Irvine, and the meals that are now terrible that are given to our military cost $18 a day per soldier. He's feeding them fresh whole foods for $10 a day. So you don't need to spend more money. You just need to be smarter. And we're going to help educate people about how to do that. And we're going to make sure there is fresh food in every jurisdiction, any place, the thousands of places that accept food stamps. The retail outlets in this country are going to be required to double the amount of whole food that they sell, and that's going to change the market as well.
Hey, kid, for the longest time, they said, America's getting lazy. They're not active enough. Little did we know, it was the food they were having. We might be just as active as any other generation. So now you got educated on this. You could not have the schedule that you have and live the lifestyle that many people think you do. How important was it for you to change what you eat?
It's probably the most important decision and the best decision I ever made in my life. You know, I've always tried to stay somewhat healthy and had some really good friends around, you know, sports, professional sports players and people really into health that, you know, kind of guided me on this. But like so many people out there, you know, I ate Honey Nut Cheerios with blueberries for breakfast thinking that was pretty healthy. It turns out it's garbage. And so did my dad. So, you know, I love everything the secretary is doing. And, you know, to eat good food, whole foods, and cut the processed stuff down. The processed stuff should be, you know, on occasion when maybe you go out and have a dessert. But, you know, you shouldn't be in the drive-thru every day, and you shouldn't be eating this crap. And it's literally, like Bobby said, it's poison. They've basically been poisoning us with our food. So I couldn't applaud the secretary more and, you know, support him. Like, I think everyone, if there's one thing we could all come together with in this country, it should be food and being healthy. I mean, maybe God, too. It should be God, food, and health. I mean, I think we should all can put our politics aside and agree on these things.
So this is what you've already accomplished, Mr. Secretary. Removal of harmful additives, fluoride ban in your water, SNAP restrictions for those people who need food stamps, industry pressure, which we see every day, and the vaccine policy overhaul. You've done that already. But the one thing you're going to focus on now, I guess, you got to get the farmers on board. Are they too invested in the corn syrup and cornmeal in the way they're high fructose in production in order to join you in this effort?
Well, there is tremendous support within the farm community for the new food pyramid, and they see it as a way to produce really healthy food for Americans, which they want, which actually improves the soil on the farms. And it improves their own health. And so we have the farm community, which I've been touring, we've had over 100 meetings with farmers and farm organizations, and we have very, very solid support from them.
Yeah, and lastly, Bobby, one of the principles are limit alcohol consumption for better overall health. Did you sign off on that to limit it, but not eliminate it?
I assume you're talking to this Bobby here.
Yes.
No, I have not eliminated alcohol, but I have been, since I got healthy, you know, I've literally had to, I've started to retrain myself to drink because, you know, I just don't have the fat and things, you know, my body fat's like 11% or something.
Amazing.
Like, and I was fine. Just when I'm drinking my ultralight beer, that, you know, I could get to a spot that was not good. So I've had to retrain myself, you know, to do it. And no, I'm not perfect. And, but I think, you know, I think you gotta pick your battles, and you just gotta pick wisely. I've never been one to, you know, drink before shows or when I have work to do or anything like that. And the times when I have drank too much, it pretty much ends up on TMZ. So I try to stay off TMZ these days.
I understand it. Ms. Secretary, just promised me you're gonna invite me to the Christmas party. You got Mike Tyson and Kid Rock already RSVPing. So it's a very fun, very fun cabinet meeting you're going to have. So I appreciate you doing this. And I think all these tapes and all this stuff is getting a lot of attention. Kid Rock, Bobby Kennedy, thanks so much.
Thank you for having us, Brian.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Next, only on One Nation, Jimmy Failla here with the media moments that matter most to him. And he's a deep thinker with a big smile. Plus, a big announcement. Got a new book coming out, Uniting the States, 6 Crucial Moments That Forged the American Miracle. Out October 6th. More on that soon. Although we've been through, I know
we're cool. Welcome to Fox News Live. I'm Marianne Rafferty in Los Angeles. A historic victory for Team USA in the Winter Olympics. The men's hockey team defeating Canada to take home the gold medal for the first time in 46 years. Forward Jack Hughes scored the game-winning goal in overtime, giving Team USA a 2-1 victory. This marks the first time America has won the Olympic gold medal in hockey since beating the Soviet Union in 1980's Miracle on Ice. And 41 million people are under blizzard warnings in the Northeast. 1 to 2 feet of snow is possible in places like New York, Philadelphia, and Boston. The worst is expected now through Monday morning. Snowfall of 1 to 2 inches an hour and whiteout conditions are possible from Maryland to New Hampshire. 50 to 70 mile per hour winds may also cause major power outages. More than 15,000 flights have already been disrupted. I'm Marianne Rafferty. Now back to One Nation.
Media moments that matter.
All right, it's a big job, but someone has to do it. This week, I gave my TV guide, I have a subscription, my VCR, all my cords, and my tape stock, too. Jimmy Failla.
How about it?
You know him.
How about it?
He's on Saturday Night and all over the channel.
You know, of course, I took the VCR to go buy Dirty Movies.
Which is a problem.
But they ask for an ID. So Chuck Schumer is guilty of dirty movie suppression. What's even going on? Are you ready for this?
Yes, I'm ready. Let's talk late night.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. Okay. So we have this Colbert-Tallarico dust-up. Right. Where they kind of faked the idea that they were banned from airing the
interview. You mean the guy that's running for the nomination, the Democratic nomination for Senate in Texas?
Yeah. Essentially got jammed up under an equal time law. Most people believe Stephen Colbert should be giving equal time to comedy at this point. Something he's not doing. But there's a new stat that came out, courtesy of our buddies over there. The last time a GOP candidate did a late night show, are you ready for this? Colbert's was Rand Paul in 2016. Kimmel's was Ted Cruz in March of 2016. Seth Meyers had John Kasich on April 2016. Fallon had Trump on for the famous hair mussing in 2016.
Which he got unbelievably blowback for. For Ted Cruz with Kimmel, just made fun of him.
Yes.
And they did some basketball thing.
But it's the dumbest thing in the world. They told Fallon he normalized Trump on the same channel that employed Trump for 16 years. Was that not normalization?
Does it blow you away that Stephen Colbert doesn't look for comedy in his show? He's taking a stand against his network. Jimmy, as powerful as you are, if you were unhappy, and you're not, at Fox, would you ever take on the network on your show?
No, I mean, that's the problem, though. He's trying to get fired on the way out the door.
Right.
So it makes him a more sympathetic Oscars host when Kimmel finally bails out.
Because we'll
that's all he's doing.
All right, let's talk Hollywood.
Yeah, no, I'm excited about this. Topic number 2, Jamie Kennedy, actor Jamie Kennedy.
Yeah.
Okay, was kind of on a podcast calling out celebrities who get into these anti-Trump tirades. We got a sod.
And the anti-ICE stuff.
It's called a sod. It's sound on television.
Oh,
okay,
wow.
Let me play this for you quick.
When you have actors from the red carpet of an award show at the Beverly Hilton.
You know who he's talking about.
I'm talking about all of them.
Oh.
And they're on there saying, you know, all of this stuff about our We're under a fascist regime. We're an authoritarianism. Can't say you're under authoritarian rule when you're literally being authoritarian.
You have said this before. Yeah,
amen. But congrats to Jamie Kennedy on never getting booked on that podcast again. Like, how dare you?
Right.
But here's the thing, okay? And you know this. If your protest has police protection, okay, if you're protesting the government, they're sending people in to protect you.
Yes.
This is not fascism.
It's
you are not the resistance.
Right. As bad as Gavin Newsom showing up in Germany to talk about the Gestapo and saying it's ICE.
Amen.
Right.
And he could have addressed Bruce Springsteen, too, with his protest song. Nobody wants to watch Springsteen protest. He's also old. We don't want to hear Born to Walk.
Right.
Okay. Born to run.
Born to barely walk.
Yeah,
too.
Barely walk. But speaking of walking.
Yes.
Topic three. Russia's robot, which may have fallen down. We all remember that video.
Your last selection is robots?
Yeah, listen, it's my VCR.
Okay,
I'm going to do what I want with
it.
Wasn't that
mine.
The deal? Is that not what you promised the American people?
I leased it to you.
Amen. Okay, well, under the terms, I have not gone over the mileage limitation. You cannot charge me wear and tear yet. Russia's robots, they fell on their face. We all laughed at
them. Yeah, let's
take a look. But yeah, let's
do it. Can we see? Here's Russia. Russia, we're kind of worried. Russia with a robot, that's scary until we saw the robot.
Yeah.
Oh, there he goes.
All right.
Not good. Three steps and down.
But look at the China.
Look at the China one. This scares the hell out of me.
Yeah.
Look at this. This is a robot.
Uh-huh. But this is the thing, okay?
What? That's more dexterous than Brian and Jimmy combined.
Amen. Okay, two comments to be made. One, obviously, the Russian robots are so realistic, they're even drinking Putin's vodka. But as far as the Chinese robots go, the only thing we've got to do, Brian, and you know this, is figure out which American company they stole the intellectual copyright off of.
From.
And we'll be able to neutralize that. But wait, there's more.
What?
I have a surprise topic.
Yes.
Okay, I know we had this viral video with Kid Rock and RFK working out, but there was another guy who worked out on TV, maybe over in Germany. Let's watch these two get pumping it up in the gym. Now, tell me if that guy looks familiar over in Germany.
Right.
Maybe around January 2026, you were hanging out with the army in Europe and
your
you were in
research
Africa headquarters.
Team must be tremendous.
I had a lot of
because
space.
Because I'm firing mine.
Yeah. I had a lot of space on this VCR. Are you telling me you're about to patent a workout video?
I'm pretty sure that America needs one more workout video.
Yes.
But in defense of me, I was doing things that I don't do deadlifts.
I know.
You know?
But,
do you do deadlifts?
No.
You were told that rips your spine out of your pelvis.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I'm deadlifted is an Italian hero from the sandwich truck across the street.
Right. But can I show you the last robot that could save us
from
all robots? Let's go back to, I think, 1971. Gigantor. He is the robot that could save all robots. So you should not worry, Jimmy.
Thank you.
About Russia or China or anything else. Look at this.
Oh, wow.
Take that, China. Look
at
that.
Can.
A big body, small legs, thoughts about a robot that fights crime.
Well, he's actually canceled because Gigantor sounds like fat shaming. So we have to call him plus size Tor.
Right.
And then we're going to be okay. But you got to get the jargon right if you want to save America, Kilmeade. Come on, man.
All right. We got to get that video together. You can produce it, and I'll take off my shirt just like RFK. All right.
Love
thanks
it.
So much. Jimmy, you look really nice. I cannot wait to watch you next week on Saturday night because it's Sunday night.
Let's go.
Next, socialism may be on the rise, but can it really survive with the country, with the way our country is structured? We're going to ask not Jimmy, but Patrick Spiro because he's the expert. And don't forget, follow me on social media. You got me Rumble, Instagram, X, Facebook, and you can join my exclusive club on Locals. Just look for Culper Club. More in a moment. Don't move.
How much would this look like it was then as compared to now?
It looks exactly as it was when FDR lived here. He wanted folks like you to come here and enjoy and understand what it meant for him to be born here and grow up here.
Wait a second, this is the original barn.
It is.
This is the way it stood 1863.
Yeah. Had you been here as part of the Battle of Gettysburg, one of the soldiers on either the Union or the Confederate side, this is what you would have seen.
This is right where Ethan Allen, Benedict Arnold, and the Green Mountain Boys stormed into the fort early in the morning of May 10th. They move into this parade ground with their guns facing in every direction because they're anticipating that when the British see that they're coming in, they're going to fight back. And they wait a few moments before realizing that everyone's fast asleep.
This is Ainsley Earhart. Thank you for joining me for the 52-episode podcast series, The Life of Jesus.
A listening experience that will provide hope, comfort, and understanding of the greatest story ever told. Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm Assemblyman Zahran Mamdani, and I'm running for mayor to freeze the rent for every rent-stabilized tenant.
Wait, you're going to freeze my rent?
Yes.
Did I hear rent freeze?
Yes, this guy's going to freeze the rent.
Yep, free, 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 and tax the rich. That's the mantra of the Socialist Party in America, which has seen a rise in this country thanks to the likes of Mondami, AOC, Bernie Sanders. They're proud of it. But as America celebrates 250, in our rich history and structure, right, within that, can we actually have an American dream with a socialist nightmare? Or is that the dream we really should have all along? Let's get a perspective. Can a land that was built on innovation, on enterprise, thrive under leadership best known for vilifying the rich and the successful? Let's ask a guy that knows, historian extraordinaire, CEO of the American Philosophical Society, Patrick Spiro. Patrick, great to see you. I'll talk about your series in a second, but your thoughts about that socialist philosophy within the American experiment.
Yeah, that's a great question, Brian. And I'm sorry I can't join you in the studio, but I'm zooming to you from Philadelphia, which, of course, is where this nation was founded. And as you mentioned, 250 years ago, 1776, this year we're marking the Declaration of Independence. But I was a former professor, and I can go on a long monologue. But there's a fun fact that I think can help frame this conversation. This is also the 250th anniversary of Adam Smith publishing The Wealth of Nations. And when I think about Smith and The Wealth of Nations, it's no mistake that it was happening in the midst of the Enlightenment, in the midst of the same time that colonists here in America are talking about the right to self-govern, the ability for people to rule themselves, that Smith is talking about the free market and the way that markets work. Because that what Smith was doing is he wasn't describing something new. He wasn't imagining the future. What Smith was he was an observer of what was present. And when I think about The Wealth of Nations, what Smith is actually doing is describing the way the economy worked in the 18th century at the moment of the American founding. And so your question about, can America and socialism coexist? You know, I think there the answer is still to be determined. We are a democracy, and, you know, depending how you define socialism, whether it's rent control, whether it's higher taxes, or whether it's to the extreme of, you know, the destruction of property, where you fall there, I think, helps answer what can happen within America in the system that we have.
Patrick, can you imagine if we expanded westward only if we had a social safety net? Can you imagine if people complained as we began to adventure? You have to protect me against the attacks against Native Americans. It seems like that pioneering spirit is part of America's spirit. Am I right?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that historians have argued is that Western expansion provided what they called a safety net or a safety valve. That in fact, being able to expand west allowed Americans to acquire more property and actually help advance prosperity and also maintain equal opportunity, the ability for people to continue to acquire property. And so people have argued that westward expansion provided that safety valve that right. relieved the pressures in urban seaports and the like.
So I want to bring you to another area. You know, the Olympics are raging over in Italy. We're doing pretty well. But I was struck personally by the lack of passion for the American spirit and patriotism. I saw a stat that said only 58% of the country are extremely or very proud to be American. And that, sadly, has lost 9 points in a year. And we haven't seen the final tally for 2025 yet. Listen to these Olympians prior and during their performance.
It brings up mixed emotions to represent the U.S. right now, I think. It's a little hard. There's obviously a lot going on that I'm not the biggest fan of, and I think a lot of people aren't.
My parents being immigrants, this one definitely hits pretty close to home. And I think in moments like these, it is really important for us to unite.
I'm also saddened with what's happening at home. It's really tough, and I feel like we can't turn a blind eye to that.
It's been a hard time for the community overall under this administration. It isn't the first time that we've had to come together as a community and try and fight for our human rights.
I'm embarrassed by the lack of patriotism because I know how accomplished and how hard these athletes worked, but not proud to wear the red, white, and blue. But I know they have the right to say it. But what are your thoughts about it?
Yeah, you know, personally, I've just learned to not let it bother me. And maybe part of that's because I am a historian, and I know that there is this history of protests. The thing that, you know, I am struck by is, for a long time, you know, I've talked about patterns of American history and what does this moment feel like if we were to look in the past. And for a long time, I didn't think we were in the 1960s. But in some ways, I do wonder if the moment that we're living in right now, the closest parallel might have been the 1960s, which, of course, was another moment of major Olympic protests, as I'm sure you know, Brian.
So, Patrick, I'm thrilled with your series. It's on Fox Nation, America's favorite streaming, device. It's called The White House. And you go through history, you dramatize and give people an understanding of what our founding fathers went through, the rivalries that exist, how they're very much like us, and how we all should be grateful that they did what they did. Patrick, thanks so much. And we'll make sure to visit you at the Ben Franklin Museum and at Independence Hall over in Philly.
I've got Ben looking over my shoulder right now.
You got it. And nobody better to talk to about you to put in perspective that great man. Thank you, Patrick. Meanwhile, now your sneak peek of the week as we look ahead. President Trump set to deliver the State of the Union address on Tuesday. Secretary of State Marco Rubio is traveling to Israel to update, I guess, Prime Minister Netanyahu on what's going on with a possible war with Iran. And a Senate hearing is scheduled for the Surgeon General. The nominee, Casey Means, did this thing called giving birth in between. So those are some of the things to look forward to. But in the Trump era, there's always stuff that pops up. That is up is first tonight. Check out my YouTube channel. I'm excited about it. YouTube.com at the Brian Kilmeade Show. Also, tune into my radio show from 9 to noon. We got Mark Thiessen ready to go and Tom Kersting to make sense of this whole social media thing. And then watch Fox and Friends in just a few hours. In fact, I got two messages for you. Always keep it here on Fox and stay within yourself. I got to go.
Say congratulations. Work so hard, forgot how to vacation. They ain't never had it.